The selection of State Senator Brian Benjamin as Governor Kathy Hochul's lieutenant governor has largely been viewed through the context of what it means for the executive branch, but the promotion also created a vacancy in the state Senate that will officially be filled in November, likely by Cordell Clear, who was chosen by the Manhattan Democratic Party to be their nominee in a special election this November, which is essentially a pro forma exercise. Cordell joins us now to discuss her upcoming elevation to the legislature and what she hopes to do in the lieutenant governor's former seat, which includes Harlem, the Upper East Side, and Upper West Side. Welcome to the show, Cordell.
Thank you. Good morning.
So you're no stranger to the Senate, having served as chief of staff to a former occupant of the seat you're likely going to fill. So how will that largely behind-the-scenes experience inform your approach to this new job?
Sure. It was helpful that I've had that experience, understanding what it takes to get policy changes, what it takes to get through budget, understanding how we have to work together with my colleagues on both sides, how we have to work in both houses to get things done. I think that really gives me a great advantage. Also, knowing some of the people who are there, having some kind of relationship with them going in is very helpful, or some knowledge of them going in is very helpful to me as well.
Are there any mistakes that you sometimes see freshman lawmakers or even just relatively new lawmakers make when they're in office that you think you can avoid, having had that experience working in the Senate?
You know, I don't know the mistakes working inside, but definitely I think it's important to remember to bring the stakeholders in mm-hmm. and the community in on everything that you're doing. You know, Albany is far away from the community, and it's very important to inform your community and also make them a part of the process, especially with them being so far away, you know, when you're in the five boroughs. And I think that's something that I want to really work hard on in the Senate if and when I'm elected. I really want to make sure that my community is aware of and is educated and informed on what goes on in Albany and how things are done, and make them a part of it.
Having worked in the state Senate, you know the limitations of what a senator can and can't get done as one of 63 members in a chamber, and in your case, likely one of 43 Democrats. How do you want to spend, then, your limited political capital in 2022? Where do you think that your energies could be best spent?
We have some real challenges in front of us. We're dealing with a lot of things that all come back to a few things. Because even when we're dealing with the crisis of mental health, when we're dealing with the crisis of formerly incarcerated, when we're dealing with many things that are going on, there are basic things that are common that everybody needs. We have to find a way to house people. You know, there has to be a plan to house people. You know, we can't have no housing available and expect people to turn their lives around. Housing is not affordable. There's housing, but it's not housing that many people can afford.
Right.
And we can't put pressures on people who are already housed, who may be spending a majority of their income just to remain housed, and it causes other stresses in their lives. We have to figure out the housing crisis. We have to figure out the education crisis before COVID. There were growth inequities in the district. The fair funding money has come, but we have to make sure that money is spent fairly and equitably in our communities, and make sure that problems are being addressed, and any additional funding that's needed is gotten as well, especially to the areas that need it the most. And I think COVID showed us the great disparities in our systems and between our students, but these just mirrored already existing. They didn't just arrive during the pandemic. There were already these inequities, and we have to definitely address that and deal with that. And I think the other great priority is to make sure that we are making sure that our neighborhoods survive in terms of small business, and make sure that the economic recovery includes our small businesses and our communities. A lot of businesses really suffered during the pandemic, are still suffering, struggling. Many couldn't make it, sadly, and went under. As we have to find a way to support those that are still here and make a way for new businesses to grow in our community.
housing, education, and economic recovery are issues that I think lawmakers throughout the state are passionate about and care about. So are there any issues that you plan on working on that are unique to the 30th Senate District? Anything that you've come across that you think, wow, this might be a challenge that no one else is really going to be dealing with, and it's going to be up to me to champion and accomplish something on this issue?
There are challenges like gun violence that mm-hmm. we really need to pay attention to and see. Look for more ways that the state, at all levels of government, can help. It's an epidemic in itself, you know. In our communities, it's really a big, big challenge. And at younger and younger ages, we're seeing gun violence play out in our streets, and we have to really find a way to address that. I really would love to see how we can do that. Arts and culture is just one of my loves, and our cultural community, Harlem, is part of the district that I'm going to serve, and it's so rich in culture, and our cultural institutions are in need of help and support, and we have to find ways to grow that, and that even ties back into education in terms of bringing arts and culture back to school. I would love to work on those kinds of projects, and, you know, there's our environment and the things that are going on with environmental issues. Climate change is one of them, but we have other things that are happening as well. And I'd like to focus on some of that. Some transportation is a great need in our district in terms of accessibility. I would love to work on making our transportation, you know, hubs, the MTA, a little more accessible to our growing disabled population, but also our seniors and younger people that are traveling with babies and carriages and groceries and such. I just think that it's time for us to bring that system into this age, and also find a way to help subsidize some of our working families and others who are finding it hard to afford to come to work every day. We have to find a way to help subsidize them, help defray the cost of transportation. So, I mean, these are just a few, but I am a person of the community and about the community. So everything excites me when it comes to me wanting to work on something to, you know, address the problems that people are facing. And I think the pandemic has really uncovered a lot of things that we need to be dealing with, including our healthcare system. And, you know, staff to patient ratio, even before COVID, was a concern of mine, and it still is. And, you know, other resources that are needed.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking with Cordell Clear, the Democratic nominee and presumptive winner for the November special election in the 30th Senate District, which was vacated by the ascension of Brian Benjamin to the post of lieutenant governor. So, Cordell, candidates for special elections in New York are chosen by the party apparatus. So what was the pitch you made to the Manhattan Dems that resulted in them choosing you over a handful of other Democratic hopefuls, including an elected official at the state level?
Yeah, you know, this community is my love. I started this work as an activist, and I've remained active around issues, whether I was on a job or not, or whether I was salaried or not. And I continue to work and care for and be with my community. And I think my pitch was just, you know, I'm the person you know, I'm there. I'm with you. I suffer the same things that my neighbors are suffering. You know, and I've seen the changes in this community. I've seen it when it wasn't such an attractive place to live, talking about the Harlem part of the district. I've worked, I've been on the community school board, which served the Upper West Side and Harlem. I've done a lot of things in the community. I worked on a very important lead bill that's protecting children to this very day. I'm passionate about our community. I'm passionate about every aspect of it. And I keep my ear to the ground, and I definitely am out there with the people, and I feel that I'm a voice for the people. And I think that's what people saw. I think that came through. And my campaigning with the county committee, they understood that I'm somebody that I've been in the community and I've been working for the community, and I will never, let them down. I'm a fighter and I'm a hard worker. And I'm going to continue to fight and work hard for this district.
In the wake of the Democratic primaries in 2018 and 2020, both chambers of the state legislature seem to be divided between establishment and anti-establishment Democratic lawmakers because, at least initially, you owe your seat, your likely seat, to the party machine that chose you. Should you be viewed as an establishment lawmaker for the sake of this, you know, binary discourse?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I remember there was a time in my life when I said I would never work for an elected official. And I did. I love working for her, and I don't regret it because I know the power and I know how to fight outside of the room, but I also learned that there was power inside of the room and how to fight inside of the room. So putting those two things together, I think, make me a greater force and better prepared and better able than most. So I don't put myself in any category other than I'm here for the people. I am a fighter for the people, and I know that I am going to keep them first, and I'm going to make, you know, what the things that concern them my priorities. I know that. So I don't know where to put me, but I would say that, you know, I just know that I know what I can use to work for the people inside as well as I know what I can use outside, and I'm prepared to do both.
Well, sticking with that metaphor about being inside the room, Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin is now inside the room in terms of the Hochul administration, which has the ability to wield a lot of power in Albany and throughout the state. So because your district has that connection now to the executive chamber, how do you think you can utilize Benjamin's connections to your district to benefit the people that you're going to represent in the future?
I definitely look at Lieutenant Governor Benjamin's position as a point of connection for this district, and I plan to utilize that in any way that I can. I think it's important that people in these statewide positions understand a district like the 30th District, understand the needs of a district like that. So I am definitely looking forward to having some access to that office to bring the needs of the people of the 30th District to bear.
Well, we've been speaking with Cordell Clear. She is the Democratic nominee and presumptive winner of a special election for the 30th Senate District this fall. Cordell, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And for more of our political coverage, including the drama surrounding the Democratic nomination for governor next year, check out our website at capitalpressroom.org, subscribe to the show wherever you get podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @CapPressRoom.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.